Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 14 lines from the top. The word with which we begin is Tanya. It's in the middle of the line, and you'll notice a framed source that itself is around 7-8 lines of length, beginning with the word Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer. But before we begin the actual Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin, which reads, No say, a topic heading, Cheshbon Shel Mispar Yomim, a calculation regarding a number of days, She Roya Dam Ve'eno Nasis Zova, through which a woman could have a blood sighting for a consecutive number of days and not become a zava. When we say a zava, that's a reference to a woman that had a consecutive 3-day blood sighting after her Yemei Nida, which would have made her into a zava gedola. And as we've said many times in our Nida Shiurim, every Shiur is in a sense based on that which we had learned in the previous Shiur. This is a Masichta that in effect one point builds up on the other. So we're making the assumption that many of these ideas are already familiar to you, the listener, so as we go on. So the source begins featuring Shitas Rebbe Meir. And we should note that Rebbe Meir had mentioned that there is a possibility of kishui for up to 50 days for a non-healthy woman, whereby blood and sightings along with pain in anticipation or leading up to a child birth will not metama the woman. So the source tells us, Hoya Rebbe Meir Omer, Yesh Makshe, Kufnun is 150 yoim, 150 days, v'ein ziva oyla bohen. You can have a situation of a woman having a 150-day consecutive blood sightings, 150 days of blood sightings, without her becoming a zava. Ketzad, well, how do we calculate this? And Rashi adds that we're not suggesting that all 150 days have to be accompanied with pain, but all 150 days that we're describing here will have blood sightings. So the calculation is as follows. Shnayim beloy ace, two days at the end of an 11-day ziva period. The woman has what's called the 7-11 cycle, where upon her first blood sighting she would become a nida and tamea for 7 days. Following that, there is an 11-day period in which she could become a zava. So at the tail end of those 11 days, we'll say days 10 and 11, she has blood sightings. Those are the first two sightings we're accounting for in this particular calculation. Then, two blood sightings don't make her into a zava. And what happens? The next day, she has 7 days of blood sightings, v'shiva nida. She sees 7 days, and she's tamea as a nida. However, so far you have 9 days of blood sightings. She doesn't become a zava, though. Just to remind ourselves, a zava is a woman that after she has become a zava, she has to observe she has to observe 1 week of clean days, 7 clean days of no blood sightings, and then she brings a sacrifice. We go on, ushnayim, 2 more days, shel achar hanida. Those would be 2 more blood sighting days of the first 2 of the 11 zava days. V'chamishim shavlad mitayer, and now, after those 2 days, which led us to day 11, she now enters a realm at the end of which, 50 days later, she will give birth. So we have now, she starts a series of 50 days with blood sightings and pain. That's Chamishim Shavlad Metayer. The Vlad is the anticipated child, will be responsible retroactively, showing us that it was retroactively upon its birth, showing us that these 50 days were days associated with the upcoming birth, and hence it's not, they're not, they cannot become Zova, she cannot become a Zova. Ushmoinim Shel Nekeva, she gave birth at the end of those 50 days, which actually had been day 61. She had given birth to a female child, and now she has an 80-day period of time that she is Tamea and Tahora, but all Leda, all birth-related. No Zova surfacing. So that's 141 days. Then at the end of that 80-day period, Veshiva Nida, at day 81 till 88, those 7 days, she sees blood, she becomes a Nida. So that's, we had reached 141 plus 7, 148, and now Ushnayim Shel Achar Hanida. 2 more days that are after the Nida period. Those are 2 more blood days, which are the beginning of a Zava period. And if at that point she stops seeing blood, we can say that we have 150 days in which a woman saw blood, 150 consecutive days, and she hasn't become a Zava. Omru lo im kain yesh makshe koyomea. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Meir, well, I can give you a scenario where she'll have she'll avoid becoming a Zava all of her life. V'ein ziva oylo bohen. And Rashi gives you the calculation for this. Yesh makshili oylom, Rashi found on the lower part of the narrow lines, v'ein o Zava kagon. She won't become a Zava. She, for example, tevelis liyudalet shel nekeva umisaberes. At she, a woman who had given birth to a female child. At day 14 since the birth, she enters the mikveh and has relations with her husband and becomes pregnant. And after the 80 days of the original birth, Shiva Lenida, she then observes 7 days. She may have 7 days of blood sightings, but she doesn't become a Zava yet. She's a Nida for 7 days. Ushnayim li'achar Nida, and then another 2 days, which would be the beginning of the Zava days, but that doesn't make her into a Zava yet. Umakshe chamishim, and at that point she starts feeling pain with blood sightings for the next 50 days, and then at the end of that time period, she miscarries the fetus she was carrying, that we mentioned she had become pregnant at day 15 from the first birth. And then just, you could repeat this cycle, that miscarriage represents an opportunity for her to become the dinim of Yoledis set in again, and this cycle that we just mentioned in Rashi would then repeat itself, and all of this time she is not becoming a Zava. So the Gemara continues, Omar Lehen Maida Taitchu Mishum Nefilim. So Rabbi Meir says, what is your cheshbon based on? What is your calculation based on? Because of, it's based on miscarriages. No, Ein Koshi Lenefilim. The ideas of extensive days of blood sightings that were metaher, that we declare tohor, because of an upcoming birth, doesn't apply when that upcoming birth, in fact, is a miscarriage. Only with regard to a healthy birth do we say that those lead-up days could be declared tohor. Tonu Rabbanan. Yesh roya mea yoyim v'ein ziva oylo bohen. This is a very similar cheshbon to what we just had. However, this is a cheshbon of 100 days. A woman can see blood, but these 100 days are without any koshi, without the pain element. So, in the source we had just before, we got up to 150 days. If you take out the 50 days of Koshi, so you'll see this Cheshbon. And it reads as follows. Ketzad, Shnayim, Beloy Eis, those are the 2 days at the end of a Ziva period that she sees, starts seeing blood. Veshiva Nida, another 7 of Nida days. Ushnayim Shel Achar Hanida, the next 2 days after the Nida days, which are the beginning of the new Ziva cycle. And at that point, we just accounted for 11 days. She then gives birth. Ushmoinim to a, she gives birth to a female. Ushmoinim Shel Nekeva, that's now 11 plus 80, 91 days. Veshiva Nida, and after the 80 days of the Nekeva birth period, we have, she enters a Nida for 7 days. And Ushnayim Shel Achar Nida, and 2 more days, another 7 and 2, 9 days added to the 91. So 91 plus 9 gives you 100 days. The Gemara asks, "My Komash Molon?" Well, what's the chiddush of this particular source? After all, this calculation is very similar to the calculation just before. Is there some type of chiddush that's incorporated in this source? So the Gemara says, "Lafuke mimandomer e efshir lepsichas akever below dam." This is to the exclusion of an opinion that says that it's impossible for the womb to open up without blood issuing forth. In other words, there's an opinion that says anytime the womb opens up, there is, at the point it opens, there is a blood release. Komash Malon, this source teaches us, the Efshel Psichas HaKefer below dam, it is possible for the womb to open up without any blood release. Now, how is that to be seen in this source? So we look in Rashi, who explains this. Komash Malon, the Efshel Psichas HaKefer below dam. Rashi continues, the E Loi Efshel, if it were impossible for the womb to open up, open up is an expression associated with the opening of the womb, often in the context of the beginning of childbirth, but in other contexts as well. When that process opens, takes place, known as the opening, the psichas hakever, kever is the womb. The e lo efsher havi lo zova kishiyolda achar shnayim shel achar hanida. In the calculation we had, we saw she had given birth in the middle of this calculation, and that took place following 2 days of the Zava period. She had seen blood for the first two of the 11 Zava days. After those first 2 days, she then gave birth. Now, the Havila Yoim Leido Shlishi, the day of her giving birth is the 3rd day of those Ziva days. The Havya Chazio Koidim Leido Psichos Kever, if there would have been a blood sighting prior to the actual birth, upon the opening of the womb, harehi zava, she would have become a zava. Hayo ubaloi koishi rasa, that sighting was without pain. And yet we said that the 100 days go by without her ever becoming a zava. So that shows us that that birth, which was preceded by the opening of the womb, must have been without a blood flow. And hence, we can say that this opinion, this source reflects the opinion, Efshel L'Psichas HaKever below dam, because had upon the Psichas HaKever been a blood sighting or a blood release, then that would have joined up with the 2 previous days, which were Zava days, accounting now for 3 Zava sightings, which would have made her into a Zava. Yet we said she does not become a Zava. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dayo. Now, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion had been that the period of time of Koshi that we allow for is much more limited than the opinions that we had seen till now. And he said that it's more limited, not much more limited, but it was an opinion indicating that the last month of pregnancy is the month in which we can say that there will be an allowance for koshi. The expression in the Mishnah had been Dayo Chadosha, her month. Tanya. So before we go further, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. Shitas Rebbe Yehuda Havlad Mitayer B'Chodesh Hatshi. Shitas Rebbe Yehuda is that the Vlad, the eventual birth, will be responsible for the Tahara of blood seen with pain during the ninth month. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Rebbe Yehuda Omer Mishum Rebbe Tarfon. Rebbe Yehuda, quoting Rebbe Tarfon, says, Dayo Chadosha. It is enough that we grant her Tahara for that month. V'yesh B'dover L'Hokil U'L'Hachmir. This particular opinion has incorporated in it a leniency and a stringency. Ketzad. Well, what is the illustration of that? So we have two cases. One showing us a leniency and one showing us a stringency. Kosha Shnayim B'Sof Shmini. Let us say she had 2 days of blood sighting with pain at the end of her eighth month of pregnancy. V'echod B'Tchilas Chi. And one more day at the beginning of the ninth month of pregnancy. So we have accounted here for 3 consecutive days, 2, the majority of which were in the eighth month. V'afilu b'tchilas chi yolda, even if she gives birth immediately afterwards, namely at the beginning of the ninth month, harezu yoledes bezov, she will be considered Yoledes Bezov, even though the birth, the vlad, the child is so close to those days that she saw the blood with the pain. And it would have, one might have said, what's so obvious that the blood was motivated by the birth and not by Ziva. And yet we don't say that. We say she becomes Tamea, because the majority of those 3 days was in the eighth month, and the eighth month is detached, we'll say, from the birth. That, of course, is Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. So that even though we have this extreme situation where you have the 3 consecutive days followed by a birth, we will still not say she's Torah, but she'll be a Yoledes Bezov. Aval, contrast case, Kosh Soyoyim Echad Besoy Shmini, 1 day of blood sighting with pain at the end of the eighth month, Ushtayim Betchilas Chi, and 2 more days, these are now 3 consecutive days, the final 2 days at the beginning of the ninth month of pregnancy, V'afilu Besoy Chi Yoda, and even if she gives birth almost a month later at the end of the ninth month, Einzu Yoledes Bezov. We will not consider her a Yoledes Bezov. We will not consider her a Zava, because the majority of those 3 consecutive days were in the ninth month. And that being the case, Rebbe Yehuda says, blood sightings with pain during the ninth month are related to the Vlad, and of course, as we saw, we had Xeris Akosov, that a woman becomes a Zava only if it's a release of blood from her body because of herself and not because of the Vlad. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo Shma Mino Kosovar Rebbe Yehuda. We see from this that Rebbe Yehuda is of the opinion Shipura Gorim. The word Shipura is the word Shofar, that the ninth month, the shofar was used to usher in a new month. So Shipura is a reference to the declaration of a month. In this case, the ninth month of pregnancy, the month, the entrance of the month is Goreim, the Leidas Havlad, is Goreim, the birth of the child. And this includes a possibility of giving birth even at the beginning of the ninth month. In other words, the entrance of the ninth month is a time period that is birth-related. The point that we are driving at right now is that a nine-month pregnancy may not necessarily be a complete full 9 months. Now, this is called Yoledes Letisha, Yoledes Lemekutoyin. That's the Hebrew expression that's relevant to this. And it's also noteworthy that as we go on in the Gemara, this particular approach is challenged. What do you mean that a 9-month pregnancy may be partial? We will see later in the Gemara, we will address a 7-month pregnancy, and the Gemara at that point will talk about, when we speak about a 7-month pregnancy, it could be a type of pregnancy that's not a full 7 months. It may be, in fact, 6 months and 2 days. Entrance into 7 month could result in a normal type birth. However, at this point, we're focusing on a 9-month pregnancy. So from our discussion concerning the sheet of Rabbi Huda, who said that the entrance of the 9th month is of significance with regard to childbirth, he seems to be of the opinion that even the entrance of the 9th month can signal a child's birth, indicating that a 9-month pregnancy may in fact be 9, but 9 partial and not complete 9 months. The Gemara asks, "Amy, is that really so?" Vomar Shmuel, "Ein isha misaberes violetes, elo lemosayim v'shiv v'echod yom." Before we go in further with numbers here, Shmuel says that a woman will not conceive and give birth unless you have 271, 272, or 273 days for her to experience the conception and time of pregnancy. So Shmuel says, "Ein isha misaberes violetes, elo lemosayim v'shivim v'echod yom, o lemosayim v'shivim u'shnayim yom, o lemosayim v'shivim u'shlosha." What does this show us? It shows us that that conception and pregnancy, when you're dealing with a 9-month pregnancy, it's a full 9 months. Full 9 months means 9 times 30. Thirty days is considered a full month. 9 of those, 9 times 30 is 270. And then we have the balance of 1, 2, and 3. Those are days that we allow for conception to take place. In other words, at the point intimacy takes place and the male seed is deposited in the woman, the conception may take place the next day, 2 days, or 3 days from then. And after conception, a full 9 months of pregnancy. So our question is, how is it possible that we're saying, when looking at Shitas Rabbi Huda, that upon the entrance of the 9 month, which essentially is the completion of 8 full months, and then you enter the 9th month, at that point, it is a time relevant and possible for birth. In fact, even more, to be a little more accurate, the first of the two examples in the Tanaic source that we saw featured a woman that had seen 2 days of blood at the end of the 8th month, third day at the beginning of the 9th month, followed immediately by a birth, showing us very clearly that Rabbi Huda seems to be of the opinion that a 9-month pregnancy is not necessarily a 9 full months. On the other hand, we have here Shmuel saying that a 9-month pregnancy is 9 full months. So the Gemara answers, who the Omar Shmuel is of the opinion, kechasidim arishonim, he follows the way of the early pious ones. The Sanyon, we'll shortly see what their piety was, but before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin, which features that which we've already mentioned. Shmuel, it says, Ein ho'isha misaberes violetes elo, and a woman doesn't conceive and give birth unless you have 271, 272, or 273s that go by. Shehein tisha chadoshim leim. That's 9 full months, which is 270 days. The oyd yoim echod shnayim oshlosha l'klita sezera, plus another 1, 2, or 3 days that we allow for at the beginning for the conception to take place. So the Gemara said that Shmuel, who makes this point of 9 full months, is in line with the opinion of the Hasidim Harishonim. The Sanyo Hasidim Harishonim lohoyu mishamshim mitoseim elo b'ravi b'shabbos. The early pious ones were careful in tashmish hamita, in their conduction of intimacy with their wives, to perform that act only on Wednesday, Revi B'Shabbos. Soon the Gemara will qualify this or change this a little bit, but for the time being it says here that they conducted their intimacy on a Wednesday. Why? Shelo yavo nishoisehem day chilul Shabbos. So as to avoid the violation of Shabbos, although the violation we're going to describe now is technically speaking allowed, but they were pious and they want to avoid Shabbos violation. What Shabbos violation are we talking about? We're talking about birth. The birth of the child, a child's birth and delivery require actions done that if they were done on Shabbos, they would constitute Shabbos violation. Once again, we're not talking about Shabbos sin, but we're talking about activities like the cutting of the umbilical cord and other physical actions and manipulations that are done that are Shabbos problems, if you will. These early pious ones arranged things so that in the event that their intimacy would lead to conception and eventual birth, the birth would not take place on Shabbos. They had it like figured out. They had the cheshbon and calculation worked out. Well, as we said, if you say that conception and pregnancy is a full 270 days plus 1, 2, or 3 days allowing for conception, so then you could plan things out. Let us point out that the number 273 is actually a number divisible by 7. 39 times 7 would get you to 273. For many of you, it might be easier to think of 280 being a multiple of 4 times 70. 4 times 7 is 28. 4 times 70 is 280. So 4 times so that's 40 times 7 is 280. 39 times 7, it's 1 unit of 7 less, gets you to 273. Instead of 280 minus 7, 273. So that the number 273 is divisible by 7. Well, with that knowledge in mind, we know that if you conduct relations on a Wednesday and allow for conception either on that Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, so there the child will be born on either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, thereby avoiding a Shabbos violation. The Gemara here at the top asks, we're now at the top of Amud Beis, Berevi V'Sula, what, only Wednesday is the only the day, the only option for intimacy that would avoid a Shabbos violation? You're not so limited, it's not just one day. Ema, rather, Merevi V'Elech, from Wednesday onwards. If one conducts their intimacy on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, so if you make the calculation we just did, you will see how you will be avoiding any births taking place on Shabbos. Now, Rashi shares this information; he works it out for you, and we can look at this Rashi together at the second line from the top. Elam Reviva Eilech. Aval, Leil Shlishi v'Leil Sheni u'Motzoi Shabbos Lo. These are the days to avoid intimacy, according to the Hasidim HaRishonim approach to things. That would be Sunday. Motzoi Shabbos is Sunday night. Leil Sheni would be, I should say, that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, those are to be avoided. And Rashi explains, De'i mis'abro l'motzoi Shabbos, if she were to conceive immediately upon the intimacy conducted on Saturday night, shemo teled, she might give birth 273 days from then. Well, what is 273 days from Saturday night? It will get you to a full cycle of weeks, because as we said before, 273 is divisible by 7. So the pregnancy will end on Friday night. Demoti b'Shabbos. It will come out on Shabbos. V'nimtza Shabbos mischalel. Shenitan v'shus l'chalel ne'sakon ezgufo. It's allowed, as we said before, to violate the Shabbos because of the life-threatening situation involved in childbirth. Vehechi domi, and Rashi goes on to explain how you find 273 being divisible by 7. If we skip down a few lines later in the Rashi, you'll notice we dashed underlined the kevon shishchilu b'moitzoi Shabbos. Since they started their intimacy on Motzoi Shabbos on Saturday night, and we, Rashi in the last couple lines pointed out that 273 was divisible by 7, so Nimsu Kolim Shabbos, well, 273 then will end on a Saturday. The Im Nisabra B'Sheni, if the conception, if she conceives on Monday, Dilma Yolda, she might give birth after 272 days. And if you make that same calculation, since we're moving a day away from Shabbos, we're moving from Sunday to Monday, so we're one day less in completing that that cycle. So you'll get back to Shabbos. You don't need now to have a full 273 days because we moved one day closer to the next Shabbos, so to speak. So if she has intimacy on a Monday, maybe it will be a 272-day situation, which demoti b'Shabbos. V'im nisabra b'shlishi, and if she were to conceive on a Tuesday, so Dilma Yolda Laresh Ayin Aleph, she might have a 271 day pregnancy. In other words, that Demoti B'Shabbos, that would end up on a Shabbos. In other words, from intimacy on a Tuesday, and the possibility that it's a 271 day pregnancy, that will end on Shabbos. Avol b'dalid, but on a Wednesday, e yolda l'resh ayin aleph. If it's a Wednesday intimacy and conception, and gives birth 271 days later, that will end moti b'chad b'shabbat. That will end on a Sunday. The e l'resh ayin beis. If the Wednesday pregnancy is a 272 day issue, so moti b'trei b'shabbat, it'll come out on a Monday. V'i l'resh ayin gimel, and if it's a 273 day situation, moti b'tolsa b'shabbat, it'll come out on a Tuesday. Thereby, you see that a Wednesday intimacy will, all of the options of the Wednesday intimacy will be a birth on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. A amok kishmul svilu. So you see, the Hasidim Rishonim, they are similar to what Shmuel had mentioned. And by the way, just like the Wednesday scenario had as its end options Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, likewise a Thursday intimacy, its options will be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Friday intimacy will be one more day ahead. But in each one of those examples, there is no birth that's going to take place on a Shabbos. We turn back to the Gemara. Omar Mar Zutra, second line from the top. Mai tamayu de Hasidim Rishonim. What is the scriptural basis for their approach? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayitein Hashem lo herayon. It says, and she was given over to pregnancy in the book of Rus. Herayon, the word herayon, the gematria, numerical value of the word herayon is mosan v'shivim v'chad havu, is 271. So that herayon, pregnancy, is associated with 271 days. Omar Mar Zutra, afilu l'manda Omar yoledes letisha, even according to the opinion that a 9-month pregnancy must be a full 9 months, like the opinion of the Hasidim Rishonim that we've been just discussing, Yoledes l'shiva, a 7-month pregnancy, that's a different story. Yoledes l'mikutoyin, that could be, the Kutoin literally is cut off, or for our purposes it means a partial 7 months. And where do we know this from? Shinemar, here we have a pasuk that says, in, regarding the birth of the prophet Shmuel Hanovi, Vayhi l'tkufos hayomim, Vatar chano vatele bein. Miut tkufos, the minimum number of tkufos. A tkufa is a unit of 3 months. Tkufa essentially is some very often associated with seasons, so that we know there are 4 seasons, each season having 3 months. Tkufos is the word tkufa in the plural, so the minimum of tkufos is 2 tkufos. Minimum plural being 2, and each tkufa being 3, so that's 6 months. 2 times 3, 6 months. And also in the pasuk was the word yomim. Miut yomim, the word yomim is also in the plural. The minimum plural of that is 2, shnayim. That's 6 months and 2 days. In other words, upon entering the 7th month, just by 2 days, she then gave birth. That's an example of a birth after a partial 7 months. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Ein Kosh Yosim Yishnei Shabbosos. Two more Tanoim with their opinion for an additional opinion of how long we are Metayer Koishi. So far, we've seen Rabbi Meir, who said we could Metayer Koishi for 50 days before a birth. We saw Rabbi Yehuda speaking about a month before the birth, and now an opinion saying only for 2 weeks before the birth. Omar Shmuel, Mai Tamayu de Rabbanan, what's the basis of their opinion? Dechtiv, Tomo Shvuayim Kinidosa. This posuk is in the context of childbirth, a female childbirth. She is, the mother is Tmeya for 2 weeks. Kinidosa, Velo Kizivosa. We say that childbirth, in which brings along with it Tumo, is like Nida, which is a form of tuma, but the word nida here is featured as an exclusionary expression to say nida, yes, velo kezivasa, but no ziva. Mechlal de zivasa tahura. From here, they conclude that the ziva days would be tahura if they were to culminate with a child's birth. Vekama, and how many days do we declare tohor because of the upcoming birth? Shivuayim, 2 weeks. So that in simpler terms, a woman who experiences blood flow that starts during her Yemei Ziva and continues for 2 weeks, concluding with a child's birth, she will be considered tohora and not a Yoledes Bezov. If that situation would continue longer than 2 weeks, so then she would be considered a candidate for being a Yoledes Bezov. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Yesh Makshe Esrim V'Chamisha Yoim. Now, here's a Tanaic source that's very similar to information we saw in Tanaic sources on the previous page, the previous Omid. This is a source that's taught in the spirit of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon that spoke about 2 weeks that we can grant a woman of Tahara because of an upcoming birth. So this source tells us that a woman can be yesh makshe esrim v'chamisha yom. She can have pain with blood for 25 consecutive days, and not necessarily all 25 days are with pain, but there are 25 consecutive days of blood sightings. V'ein ziva oylo bahen, and there will be no ziva. The woman will not become a zava. Ketzad. Well, how do we make this calculation? And this, of course, will be very similar to things we've seen before. Shnayim b'loy eis, 2 days at the end of Yemei Ziva. V'shiva, another 7 days of blood that are during Nida days. V'shnayim shela'achar Nida, 2 more blood sightings after those 7 days, getting us to now 11. V'arbo asor shavlad metayer, and another 14 days that precede a birth. the e efsher shetiskasha esrim v'shisha yoim below vlad v'loi tehe yoledes bezov, and you cannot have 26 days of pain without a vlad, and she would not and her not becoming a zova. The Gemara asks, below vlad, if you're talking about a situation of no child, no birth, with 3 days of blood sighting, that's enough to make her into a zava. You don't have to talk about 26 days of blood sighting in order for her to become a zava. Omar Ravashi. Ravashi is a first of two approaches to dealing with this issue. There's Omar of Sheshes. Amor, rather state b'mokom sheyesh vlad. In other words, you can't have 26 days and a child being born and us being able to say that she is not a zava. But no, she would be a zava. Omar le Rava. Rava says regarding Rav Sheshes's response, below vlad katoni, but the source talks about a no vlad situation. According to Rav Sheshes's reading of the source, it's a source dealing with that there is a birth, but what do you do with the fact that the source itself says below vlad? Elo Omar Rava, hochi ka'omar. Rava says, but rather you have to read it thusly. E efsher shetiskasha esrim v'shisha yoim b'mokim sheyesh vlad. You can't have a situation of 26 days of blood with pain leading up to a child's birth. V'lo tehe yoledes bezov, and that we should say she's not a yoledes bezov. Uva mokim sheyein vlad hello nefel, in the situation that there is no healthy child born, but rather a miscarriage, betlosa nami havyozava, with 3 days of blood sighting, she would also become a zava. My taima, why is that? Answer, ain koshilin afilim, the whole din, our whole scheme of things, saying that elongated blood sighting periods are child related and hence non ziva related, that concept doesn't apply when a miscarriage, when it's a stillborn birth. This whole principle, and at this point we saw earlier, this whole concept of extended blood sighting days as not leading to zava are true only in the case of a healthy birth. The Mishnah, Hamikasher besoich shmoinim shel nekeva, kol domim shehi roya tahirin ad sheyetze havlad. A woman who had delivered a female infant, she gave birth to a female baby. We know that she has an 80-day period, Yemei Leda, the first 2 weeks she's Tameah, the following 66 days she is Tahora. So we're talking about those Yemei Tohar, and during those Yemei Tohar, she experiences blood with pain. In general, Yemei Tohar are days that if she has any blood sighting, regular, called normal type of blood sighting, the Torah declares it Tohor. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where there is blood sighting with pain because she had actually become pregnant during her Yemei Tohar, and now she starts seeing blood with pain. The Tanakama says that she is considered Tahora until the birth takes place. Let's glance at the Rashi. Hamakashet tzoich shmoinim shnis abrud mei toar oy shnis tay vlad ach chaver shnei chadashim v'chetzi. Either she became pregnant during the Yemei Tohar, or she had a woman that had been pregnant with twins, and the second child gets developed or completed 2.5 months later than the first child. One child was completed in the middle of the seventh month of pregnancy, the echad nigmar tzurasa l'sof chi kemaisid yuda v'chizkia b'nei Rabbi Yechia, that happened in history where the twins were born, one in the seventh month and one at the end of the ninth month. So the Tanakhama says that any blood that comes out during the Amei Tohar, she is Tahora, even if it happens to be blood that's coming with pain. Rebbe Eliezer Metame, Rebbe Eliezer says she will become a Nida. Since the blood is coming with pain, it's not the known Dam Tohar. It's not the formal Dam Tohar. And rather, it's because of the Vlad that's inside of her. And when we speak about the Vlad, the blood coming as a result of a pregnancy, which is, when we say pregnancy, we're talking about blood with pain, that is tahor only when it starts during, or when it flows during the Yemei Ziva. But right now, we're not in Yemei Ziva, we're during the Yemei Tohar. And since we're in the Yemei Tohar, not Yemei Ziva, so the luxury or the leniency of declaring her Tohar doesn't exist, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Omru lo le Rabbi Eliezer. So the Tanakhama argued back to Rabbi Eliezer, Uma, with here you'll see a Kal v'chomer logic being used. They say to Rabbi Eliezer, Uma b'mokim shehichmir b'dam ha-shoifi, hekel b'dam ha-koishi. Mind you, before a birth, if a woman has blood sighting without pain, that's dam shoifi. So, pre-birth non-pain blood results in tuma. Pre-birth pain blood results in tara. That's what this means. Hekel b'dam hakoshi. Pre-birth dam that comes forth with pain. We know we are lenient on that. Mokom shehekel b'dam hashoifi, when you're in the Yemei Tohar, which is a time that we actually are lenient with regard to the painless blood sightings. So here you're in a realm where that which we were stringent with before, we're now lenient with. So eino din shenekel b'dam hakoshi, all the more so we ought to be lenient with regard to blood coming with pain, namely when you're in the Yemei Tohar. Amar lahen, Rabbi Eliezer says back, dayo labo minadin lios kanidon. You cannot have something derived be any more extreme than the original source. Now, how did you start your Kal v'chomer? Mima hekel aleha. Initially, when you made your Kal v'chomer, and you spoke about our being the pre-birth blood sightings, and we said we were mekel, we were lenient with regard to the pain-related blood sightings in the pre-birth scenario. Yeah, but even there, mima hekel aleha. In what context were you lenient? Mitumas ziva. We were lenient then only if the blood sightings with pain came during the Yemei Ziva. Avol b'tumeo, tumas nido. In the pre-birth scenario, if the pain was coming during tumas nido, or days that were appropriate for her to become a nido, she would have become tumeo, even with blood that had been accompanied with pain. So Rabbi Eliezer, to say it in common terminology, Rabbi Eliezer is simply not impressed with the Kal v'chomer of the Chachomim. Tanu Rabbanan, here we have a Tanaic source that basically elaborates on the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we have our Mivneh heading, a structural note, which features Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Shlavim, two stages Shel Kal v'chomer Shel Chachomim Omrim Le Rebbe Eliezer, two stages of Kal v'chomer logic that the Rabbanan will try to use against Rebbe Eliezer. At the end of the day, so to speak, Rebbe Eliezer will maintain his ground, though. So as we turn to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Teshev, this is a quote from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Teshev al demei tohara. Le rabois hamekashe besuch shmoinim shal nekeva. to include the case of a woman who experiences blood with pain during the 80 days of the Yemei Tohar of the Nekeva. Shekol Domim Shiraya Tohirin, all the blood she sees will be tor ad Shiyetze Avlad, until the child emerges. When the child emerges, so she will be Tameah as a Yoledes. Rabbi Elazar Mitameh. And Rabbi Elazar, he disagrees. He says that we're not going to mitahir the woman. In fact, we will declare her Tameah during as a result of this blood with pain coming out, even though it's coming out during the Yemei Tohar. Amru lo le Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbanan said to him, Uma b'mokoyim, the use of the triangles here is just to help you see the beginning of each stage of the two kavachomers. So the first stage of kavachomer starts here. Uma b'mokoyim shehichmir b'shoifi shelifnei havlad hekel b'shoifi shelachar havlad. Mind you, in a pre-birth situation, we are stringent with regard to blood sightings that come without pain, and yet painless blood sightings we are lenient with after the birth. Mokoim shehekil bekoshi shelifnei havlad, in a situation where we are lenient with regard to pain related blood sightings pre-birth. Now, pre-birth was a realm in which we saw originally there was an element of stringency, but yet when it comes to Dam Koshi, we are lenient in the stringent realm. Eino din shineko b'koshi shelachar havlad, all the more so we should be lenient with regard to Koshi after childbirth, because after childbirth you're already into the realm of leniency, namely the Yemei Tohar. Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Lezer said back to them, Dayola bo min adin lios kanidon. The derived information cannot be any greater in or any more extreme than the original source. Mima hekel aleha, when we originally were lenient. Mituma ziva, we were lenient only with regard to our saying she won't become a zava as a result of the pain-related blood sightings. Avol mitame tumas nida, she would have become a nida even though the blood in the pre-birth scenario had come with pain, but if you were dealing with yemei nida, she would have become a nida. Amru lo, the Rabbanan said back, harei anu meshivim loch loshan acher, so we're gonna present you a kal v'chomer in a slightly different version. Uma b'mokoyim shehichmir b'shoifi shelifnei havlad. Mind you, in the pre-birth scenario, we would be machmir with pain-free blood sightings, but we would be lenient with pain-accompanied blood sightings, once again in the pre-birth scenario. Mokoyim shehekel b'shoifi shelachar avlad, when you're dealing with the Yemei Tahara, which is after birth, and we are lenient with regard to pain-free blood sightings, and once again, pain-free blood sightings was a reason for stringency before, but we're in the realm of afterbirth. So this formerly strict realm, we are lenient now. Eino din shed nekel b'koshi shimo. All the more so, we can be lenient with blood accompanied with pain. During the Yemei Tohar. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Lezer said back to them, Afilu atem meshivim kol hayom kulo, you can attempt to respond to me all day with any other variation on your kal v'chomer. Dayola bo min adin lios kanidon. We have a hard and fast principle when it comes to kal v'chomer construction, that the derivative cannot be any more extreme than the source. Mima hekel alo, in the original scenario, when we spoke about pain-accompanied blood sightings and we said we are declaring her tahora, but what with regard to what? Mitumas ziva, only with regard to the tuma known as ziva, ziva tuma, zava tuma, we are lenient. Avol mitumas, avol metama tumas nida, but even in that lenient realm known as dam koshi, still if it didn't come out during the Yemei Ziva, she would have become Tameya. And when we speak about a woman during her Yemei Tohar, she is not Yemei Ziva. Therefore, she is subject to becoming Tameya. Omar Rova, Beho Zachinu Rebelozer the Rabbonon. In this argument, the Rebelozer defeated the Rabbonon. He had the upper hand. Lav Amrisu, don't you say Doma? The word Doma in the Pasuk is Doma Machmas Atzma Veloy Machmas Vlad. We declare as Tohor only blood, but we declare as Tomei blood that comes from the woman, and not pregnancy related. Hachinami V'tor Mimikor Domeo. So too, when it comes to Tahara, we say Domeo Machmas Atzma. We declare her Tohor when it's blood that comes from her. And this is a reference to the Yemei Tohar. What blood during the Yemei Tohar do we declare as being Tohor? When it's Machmas Atzma, when it's blood coming from the woman herself, meaning the woman herself is responsible, so to speak, for the blood release. Velo Machmas Vlad. But this tahara mimukar demel will not extend. This tahara will not extend to blood that is coming because of the child. The Gemara asks, "Emo bimei nida nida." Bimei ziva tahora. This question is focused on Rabbi Eliezer. And since Rabbi Eliezer kept pushing the point of Dayola Bola Min Adin Lios Kanidon, shouldn't we say that a woman during her Yemei Tohar extends for 66 days. Rabbi Eliezer himself had said that if she sees blood with pain during the Yemei Tohar, she is declared to be Tamea. So the question here is, why are you so strict? Why are you so overbearing and all-encompassing in your statement? Maybe say thusly, that in the midst of those 66 days, she starts seeing blood with pain in anticipation of a child being born afterwards. Let us say that during the for the first 7 of those days, all right, we'll make her Tamea, but as the blood continues beyond those 7 days, she will be Tahora. After all, we were saying Dayola Bo Min Adin Lias Kanidoin, and we were saying up till now that only during Yemei Nida is she Tamea, but during Yemei Ziva she is Tahora. Why, therefore, are you saying that throughout the entire Yemei Tohar period, any blood she sees with pain will be a reason for us saying she is Temea? Omar Kral, so Rabbi Eliezer answers, Teshev, Yeshiva Achas Lekulan. When we speak about the woman experiencing the Yemei Tohar, it is a uniform Yemei Tohar. And either they're all Tohor, that's, of course, if the blood would come without pain, or they're all Tomei, in other words, uniformity. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.